Hey, everybody, welcome to yet another fantastic episode of Tall But True. And I haven't said this part in weeks now, but where the tales might sound tall, but they are true. I even forgot that we used to say our tagline, and I just forgot it.
So white.
It's so very white. What do you mean, that me or the...
That tagline, everything.
The tales might sound tall, but they are true. They're true, Leslie Jones. Oh, that's our guest today. It's Leslie Jones,
Leslie Jones.
What's up?
That's awesome. I can't believe Les Dog is here, man.
Les Dog is here, man.
I can't believe all three of us are sitting here.
Yeah. I know, that's so weird.
Because...
I'm really glad that DC is here. That's just like...
It's like a reunion.
Circle. Yeah.
We all will explain to you guys why it's a reunion, because we all did a tour in Holland years
ago. Best road trip ever.
Oh, my God.
What was the name of that comedy show?
The TV show?
Comedy.
Yeah,
comedy.
It was called The Comedy Factory.
Yeah.
Was the...
Raymond Islat.
With Jürgen Reimann.
Jürgen.
That's right.
Jürgen.
Comedy.
No,
those guys were awesome.
They were so awesome.
So we got
we were in Amsterdam and Rotterdam and all these different places.
I just remember the first day when we were there and we were walking down the street. We were so amazed that, first of all the weed.
Yeah.
And then that we could smoke out in public the way that they were smoking. And
we were still looking around, looking over our shoulders.
It was still like,
Didn't you get a light off a cop?
Yeah, I sure did. I was like, sir, I need a light for my joint. And he was like, crazy, I'm mad at this. Yo.
Comedy.
My favorite thing, though, I will always remember from that trip is that I looked at Ben, and Ben was like, hey, you guys go ahead. I'm going to be over here at the Kershank. What was it?
I still remember it. I said, I was standing there just staring at the name. Thinking I'd be able to figure out what it was, but it's in Dutch. I have no idea what it said. But I still remember the words. I said, hey, if you guys need me, I'll be in the Oosterske Schenkenhaus.
Yo, we laughed for like 10 minutes. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
And then there was another one.
I know the other one.
Robert Kelly was with us, wasn't he? He was there the last day. Remember? Somebody was
Arnold Acevedo.
Oh, okay. Arnold Acevedo was there.
He looked like Robert Kelly.
He opened his room. Remember? We were at the Hotel Van Walsum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I wrote my owl bit, by the way.
Yes.
Because there was a white owl outside in that alley.
That hotel was actually cool, though, because they would let us smoke before we ate breakfast.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh,
and then
they had chocolate.
Yeah, for breakfast.
No.
It was chocolate on bread.
Wait a minute. Do you remember y'all was trying to hook me up with that?
Turkish guy?
Yes!
You like that dude. That dude looked like Sylvester Stallone. You were like,
I was into him.
He was trying to take you into the freezer. I remember he was like in the back room.
Yeah.
We were like, Leslie, you gotta...
He was so scared.
You gotta be careful.
He was scared.
He wanted to go and make out in the walk-in freezer with you.
Yeah, and remember, y'all
was
supposed
scared.
To bring
he was
me
like
food.
A kid.
Y'all was supposed to bring me food home.
Oh, shit.
And these motherfuckers... Shit. They ate every bit of it.
Oh,
and then got to the hotel and was like, yeah, man, we had you a sandwich. I was like,
we were laughing so hard we couldn't even tell you.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Where's my sandwich?
I was like, where my fucking sandwich? He was like, man, we ate that shit, man. I was like, what?
We ate it on the way home.
That was like, it was a long walk.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
That was a great trip.
I would never do something so unchivalrous. I was baked as hell. We got lost.
We got lost.
Y'all was high as hell.
You know how we found our way back? We got lost. I couldn't figure it out. And there was a store named Gusteen's Brood.
And the Gusteen's Brood.
I had seen Gusteen's Brood earlier in the day. And I'm like, I'm making a mental note of that, Gusteen's Brood, right? So we get lost. We can't find anything. And then I see Gustine's Brew. I'm like, Gustine's Brew. We're near. We're nearby. Gustine's Brew. Anyway. I
think oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm
we had some
you,
crazy times.
We, no, when we went to Amsterdam, remember, we rode the train.
Yep.
But then we got into a car, and I just remember this guy, and I was like, get your ass out the street.
He yelled at some Dutch guy. People were, like, blown away just seeing you.
Yeah, because they thought I was an athlete. They didn't know what the fuck I was.
Yeah. They were. Like, were
and then I got this giant black woman?
They were definitely, like, just fascinating. Yeah,
but they're big. Know? They're very tall, too. Remember yeah. how tall a lot of them were?
Pure white.
Mm. Pure white.
The first thread of a white person out there, man.
That pure,
was,
like,
that's where they make them motherfuckers out there. Just pure, authentic white.
And like, weird, logical,
yeah,
sarcastic people. Say, I went to buy a pair of jeans. They're so sarcastic. And I was like, do you have, I hate to admit it, but do you have size 38 waist? And the lady's like, too many cheeseburgers.
Wow. You're like, bitch.
Give me them damn jeans.
Give me them jeans, bitch.
And I got 36.
Oh, my God.
34? How many? How big is my waist supposed to be?
But that's how they get you there. That's how they get you that sarcasm of that, you know.
Oh, my God. That was so fun. I remember you stayed in that condo.
I remember Leslie has that joke, dropping the mic.
Dropping the mic on the girl's head. Did I do that out there?
You did. This is the best.
Standing in the hall watching.
Oh, that's
you go
so
up there, and the Dutch.
Because I learned how to say suck dick in Dutch.
You.
What's Papperam or something like that. Papperam. It was some kind of medical, surgical name they gave me.
But right. That joke you do in the States. Yeah. They don't, people, when you ask a woman in the States publicly, do you suck dick? People, they get a little shy. They get a little shy.
Or they're like, oh!
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in Rotterdam, the lady was like, yes. Of course.
Of course
like,
I do.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, fuck, I didn't see that coming.
Whole new country. It's a whole new country.
And you drop the mic on that. The part of the joke is dropping the mic on the
you don't know what this
and it was
like.
A heavy old school like World War II mic, and that shit hit that lady's head, and I saw like a tear in her eye. Right, you heard crack through the room. I'm like, I never heard that in the States.
Damn, I don't even remember that. Holy
that was
shit.
At the great club. Moment. That was at the
so
Comedy Cafe.
Funny.
And,
yes.
And Leslie was always talking to us. Remember about like. Threatening. You remember that? How she was like gonna.
She was gonna whoop. I'm gonna
whoop somebody's ass.
I'm gonna whoop somebody's ass.
Whoop someone's ass.
On the train ride. Oh, we were laughing. I have to admit, when we came to get you, we came to your room to get you before we had to get on the train. And you open the door, and the cloud of fucking weed smoke that poured out of there, and you had curlers in your hair, and you're like, "What are we doing?" And we're like, "We got to be on the train in a half an hour." You're like, "What? I'm gonna whoop somebody's ass!" Yeah. And then you were like, "You were gonna whoop everybody's ass all the way there." It's fucking hilarious. We laughed the entire train ride.
Oh, that is.
You know what I remember about it? You looked at us like you didn't know us when you opened the door.
What's going on?
Like, checkout was 3 hours ago.
Oh, shit.
And we were in a club, and they played Lottie Dottie.
Oh, that was so fun.
Lottie Dottie. Lottie Dottie.
We liked stuff.
And we knew all the words.
And we knew all the words.
People thought that we... were the best thing that ever hit the world.
Yeah, my lack of rhythm was forgotten because I was dancing to it.
Dude, in Holland, you're a great dancer.
Wasn't Dean Edwards? Dean Edwards was there because I remember him.
Yeah, there were some people in and out.
Yes, yes.
Arnold Acevedo was there.
Yes.
And we went and he was in his room and he just looked like he had just fought a fucking war. Like,
yeah.
He looked like holy hell. And we were like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. He's been here for 5 days or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, because we remember we did that Comedy Factory, and then we were like famous the next day.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were famous in Amsterdam the next day. Like, we saw the Comedy Factory. I was like,
that was the channel. Everybody watched that show.
Yep. Yeah.
Ate their bread with chocolate on it. Watched that show.
Freaking fun.
So funny. Jürgen Raimund.
Jürgen.
Was the host of that show, which was different from the Raimund Slot, which came later, I think.
Yeah, but who was the white guy who booked this? What
Marcel.
Was his name?
Marcel.
Marcel. Yeah. Marcel had a crush on me. He had a crush on me.
He did.
Him and a lot of Dutch guys.
A lot of Dutch crush guys. And Sylvester Stallone at the Turkish fucking kebab place. What? That guy. That dude.
Wait, what was I? What was I? I had something. One thing I remember from that I started to say before, when we're on the way home. Like, for years, my mom was like, oh, our good friend, he's a pilot. He always flies for United. And you always fly on United, or as Continental at the time. Maybe you'll run into him on a flight or whatever. And I flew, like, a million times in 10 years. I never run into the fucking guy. This is, like, some girls that I went to high school with's father. We're coming back from the Amsterdam trip. I'm so hungover. I look like I died 3 days ago. I'm in terrible shape. I remember you brought me ice cream on the plane.
Yes, because do you not remember before we got on the plane, we had 3 weed cookies and we didn't know what to do with them. And we ate them because we were fucking idiots.
We should have thrown them in the garbage.
And should have thrown them away. But all of us ate the cookies and we was high as hell.
I don't remember anything
you
of that ride.
You ate everything. You ate everything that came down the aisle you was eating. You were knocked out.
Okay, that's what I don't remember.
I just remember you brought me, you woke me up and gave me an ice cream cone, and I loved you for it.
Yeah, you
I was
looked
so mad
like,
that you woke
you
me
looked
up.
Like Oliver Twist. You was like, what and the fuck? And like, then he was like, ice cream.
And we ate her sandwich. Look at the generosity. Look at the generosity.
But so that, of course, is when that pilot is finally on a flight that I'm on.
Oh.
And I open my eyes at one point, and I'm like, who's this guy? And he goes, oh, hey, Ben. I'm like, oh, Jesus. My parents are going to get a pretty bad report.
Your son was baked.
Your son was on a flight. He looked like,
did they ever talk to him?
I don't know. I'm sure they did, but they never said anything.
He was like,
about
your son
it,
was baked.
Interesting.
It was like everybody coming back.
Racial from... note about Holland was that show, Raimund Slot. I never understood what that title came from. And they explained to me the guy was from Suriname.
Yes.
And they were like, in Holland, Suriname is like the black people or the Spanish.
Yeah.
And right, he goes, the minority, they are always late. So this guy is late. Raimund is late for his own show, so that was like the...
That's the premise.
That was the...
What?
Yeah. Like that that was
he
the...
Was
awful. It's that, terrible.
And that's what I was going to say. He's from Suriname.
Yes.
Years later, Judah Friedlander and I made a short film called Meet Me at Ray's, and we hired a DP who was from Suriname. He went to high school with Jürgen.
Wow.
He goes, you know Jürgen? I'm like, yes.
Holy shit.
How do you know him? I'm like, oh, we went to high school together. You got to be fucking kidding
Wow.
me. Isn't that the weirdest coincidence?
That is weird.
I guess there's not, Suriname isn't that big, but still.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's that big.
There's only 6 people that live
like,
there.
They all went to the same high school.
But you started on the West Coast, right, Liz? Or did you start
The very first time I performed was in college in Colorado State.
Oh, no shit.
It was a contest on campus, and my friend put me in there. Funniest person on campus. And I remember going through, like, the community, you know, where all the students eat or whatever, and seeing a sign, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And she signed me up to it and told me, came and told me, like, 2 days later, like, I signed you up for that contest. And I was like,
shit.
What the fuck? Is wrong with you? Like, why would you do that? Like, I don't. I've never told you that I was a fucking comic. Like, and she was like, "Bitch, you funny as hell. You funny as hell." She was just get up there and start talking.
Oh, that's awesome.
She was like, "Only thing I do is just get up there and start talking." I was like, "No, that's actually not how it fucking works. You have to have fucking jokes." So I wrote some funny stuff that I told them about, like my uncle about black churches and. I forgot something else I was wrote up and I just, you know, pumped myself up for it. So I was like, you know, I'm going to be the next Eddie Murphy. So I remember I had a Jerry Curl too. I had a Jerry Curl, and it was the bomb Jerry Curl course. This girl that looked like Tina Marie did my hair. In Colorado, there's not that many black people hairdressers.
Where now? Where in Colorado were you?
Fort Collins, the whitest town.
Fort Collins, okay, yeah.
In America. I'm talking about white. And
Square Biz did your hair.
It was in 87, so you know it was extra white. Uh-huh. So this girl, and she looked like Tina Marie. I remember her looking like Tina Marie, and she had this. You remember? I can't remember. Is it? I'm trying to remember the name of that group, but they had the bobs. It's like it would cut symmetrical.
I think I know what, and then you I know had what you're talking
ducktail.
About.
Yeah. I had a ducktail.
Like a full hair. Force?
Like, yeah, almost like that. Yeah, but like just symmetrical. Like it was just, I was just so dope. So.
Oh, shit.
And I love it.
I remember.
By the way, I don't know what half that stuff means.
Exactly. I was so.
Oh, spill. It's okay,
KC.
Everyone. Didn't hit any equipment.
Oh, good.
And so I had to prepare myself, and I had these black alligator boots.
Nice.
And I had this, my friend let me wear her black leather jacket. I just wanted to be Eddie Murphy. So I got this set together. I performed it for my friends. They thought it was hilarious. I was like, okay, fuck it.
You did it individually or as like as a group?
No, as a group. Because awesome. You did like a little pre-show. Crazy.
That's really smart to do that before the actual contest.
And then it was like, yeah, that's funny. No, okay, don't do it that way, though. Do it this way. So
very smart.
So when I got to the place, you know, this is me learning about Comedy World. Yeah. So when I walked into the place, this is when I first learned that other comics, real comics, come to shit like this, you know, and try to win it. You know what I'm saying? So when I got there was this girl who, she literally was trying to intimidate everybody, and she was winning. She was winning, but I was just a little bit smarter than this hoe for some reason because she was getting drunk, and I was watching her the whole night. She was getting wasted, but she was dogging us out. She was like, you motherfucker. Y'all think y'all comics are not fucking comics. You don't even know what the fuck you doing. And whoop. She was just talking so much shit. So by the time she got up to perform, she was so wasted. She couldn't even get her act out. So I was like, yeah, but that's not how you do it either, bitch. You know what I'm saying? So I was, you know, like, fuck this. You know, when I saw her go down, I was like, oh, I can win this motherfucker. So I went up and don't have that video. I had that video for years.
Oh did you really?
Yes, I had that video for years. And if I looked up, maybe I still have it, but it was nothing but I remember looking at it years later, it was just like screaming. Just, oh, man, are you motherfucker? Are you serious in this motherfucker? Let me tell you about black churches. Let me tell you, white folks, they just be like, hum. But black people be like, hallelujah.
Did it kill?
Destroyed. One, they thought I was a fucking miracle. They thought I was a miracle because what I didn't know at the time that I did have the spirit of comedy.
Yeah.
I had the tickle on me.
Yeah.
And it's had that joy of the laughter in me that spread it. So even if I was stupid, I was better than what the fuck they've been seeing all night. Uh-huh. Do you get what I'm saying? So I won, and I remember they interviewed me. I was like, I'm the next Eddie Murphy.
You said that in an interview?
That's awesome.
I want to find this fucking article. I'm the next motherfucking Eddie Murphy. You tell California I'm coming.
I love it.
I went and told my coach. I had a full scholarship. Went and told my coach I'm quitting. I was like, you know, I'm going to be a comic. I remember calling my dad. Tell him that I gave up my scholarship, and he was like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you talking about?
Wait, now, wait a minute.
Wow.
Let's talk about that. Your coach for what?
My coach for basketball.
You had a basketball scholarship?
Brian Berger brought me to Colorado State to scare the white girls. Because I was crazy good on the court. Like, you know, he used to call me Moses Malone. Because whenever I got a rebound, two or three bitches is going down. Because I would come down with the ball, and I would slap that motherfucker, and both my elbows would go up, and anybody who was there was catching, cow.
Wow.
I averaged 13 to 14 rebounds a game. Wow. And block shots. I specialize in block shots, even if I killed you.
I wish I could.
So a lot of times I fouled out the first half.
I wish I could watch a highlight reel of you just blocking shots.
I remember this tournament we did in Thousand Oaks, and it was just, my stats was, it was 17 points a game, 15 rebounds, 10 block shots. I was just like destroying, like murdering. But it wasn't the thing I loved. I did it because my dad liked it. You know what I'm saying? And then I knew that
that's
I would be able to get a scholarship.
And he knew you were good. And
yeah, and I knew I would get a scholarship to college.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was for. But when I touched the mic, I was like...
You felt like you were home?
I felt like I had been doing it all my life.
Me too, man. The very first time, and I've told that story before on the show, I think, but nervous, scared, sort of like, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
And then, boom.
It just feels like,
Oh, it could be like this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know I knew how to do this.
Yeah.
And then it was just like no option. I went back to L.A. and that was it. That was 87.
So you gave up a college basketball scholarship.
Well, I don't know if I gave it up as much as they took it from me. My grade point average was like 1.7. You got to keep that shit. And I was redshirting, so I didn't give a fuck. So, you know, I was like, yeah. When I got out there, I was like, I got to practice. And I don't get to play in a game? Man, this is some bullshit. Like, I was like...
Is that what red shirting is?
Yeah, it's when you get transferred to another college. You got a... I think you got a red shirt. You got to sit out for a year. Because you... It's like you're going to another...
Well, so with comedy, you're in the game immediately. It's nobody... You're in the game as much as you can put yourself out there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what's nice about it.
Exactly.
Is there's no... You know,
there's
you go out and you do it.
So just
you were in LA at that point. You went out there. You're like, I'm going after it. Where were you working?
Oh, man. When I first got out
there. Where were you trying to get in and
hanging
out?
Yeah, when I first got out there, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I didn't even know anything about doing jokes. I didn't know what I was doing. And at the time, there were black rooms. My friends knew about them. And they took me to a room that Speedy was hosting. That's in L.A. Speeding is where all the basketball
players. He always
had
the gloves on, right?
I don't know. He might have had back in the day with his terrible ass. but he put me on. He let me perform. I opened up, and Jamie Foxx was the headliner that night, and I performed. And oh God, it was a completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it was real
universe.
Reality. Yeah, it was reality. Like, yeah, bitch, that's not funny. Like, what are you talking about, bitch? What are you talking about? The DJ was cutting through my whole set. Just, and I remember I brought my homegirls too. I had my homegirls there, and these girls that were sitting beside them was like, boo, you need to sit down. And my homie was like, say it again, bitch. Say it again. See what the fuck gonna happen if you say that shit again. All you motherfuckers. Like, it was... Chris was mad as hell. It's like, nah, fuck that bitch. She don't know.
That happened with me too, where I brought a friend and someone was like, this dude sucks. And my friend's like, hey man, that's my friend. And the guy's like, but his act is dry, man. It's dry. And my friend's like, it is a little dry.
That's funny. And from he sucks to his act is dry.
Oh my God.
When he knew you had your boys with you.
And
are you still friends with those people?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
And it's so funny because
how about
when Jamie Foxx
still friends with the
still
the dude.
Friends
still
with
friends
that
with
dude.
Yeah,
that's
still cool.
friends
that's
with
cool.
that dude, man.
Sorry, I was just curious about that.
When Jamie Foxx stepped on the stage, it was the first time I had ever live with my own eyes without listening to Richard Pryor albums or seeing Richard Pryor or stuff. I live in front of me saw someone do something that I needed to do. Like Jamie was performing, and I remember sitting in the seat, grabbing the sides of the chair, like, oh God, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
That's what I want to. That's it.
Awesome.
What he's doing. That's it. That's he knows what he's. I gotta know. That's why I get mad at the New Jacks because, like, you can get so much information from the veterans.
Yeah.
But they're so busy trying to beat us.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes don't, yeah, they don't want to hear it.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. The first thing I did was like, well, first of all, I knew that Speedy was his homeboy, and I knew Speedy liked fat girls. My homegirl was fat and beautiful. So I told her, you're fucking Speedy. You're fucking Speedy. So we
can. That's good on so many levels for everybody. Everybody benefits.
Like, and she was like, cool. I like him. Cool. And you know, she wouldn't start talking to him. Speedy liked her. He was like, let's go get something to eat. Me and my boy gonna go to Fat Burgers. I was like, let me roll. And I fucking had Jamie in the corner like, how do I get, what do I do? What do I need to do? What, how do I, you know? And it's just amazing to me. Like somebody like me walk into a comedy club, and if I was a new Jack, I would tackle me. I'd be like, bitch, you telling me everything, bitch. You're telling me everything. But these, man, I walk into a club and the females will be just like, yeah, my name is so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm a female comic. Yeah, well, I hope you female, bitch. You got titties. Like,
did so you don't get a lot of love from the new comics?
Sometimes. I'm not saying all of them is like that. Shocking. Not saying all of them like that, but you do have that sense of that like, I want to take this bitch down. Like, why do you want to take me down, bitch?
You're not Jesse James. Like, what the
what
fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah. Like,
I just feel like they don't give a shit what I have to say. I'm like, I'm not going to compete with you guys
to have the floor when you
don't have anything to say.
I fuss at
Pete. And like, you don't want to hear what I have to say, then that's just kind of stupid on your part.
You know what? I wish.
Because I could tell you a lot about this fucking business if you cared to listen.
If you cared to listen.
When I was starting, I wish there was somebody who gave me advice. I would be so happy.
There was nobody like that.
There was nobody who gave any advice. So I look at it now like, even though people are like that, I still go, if anybody wants the advice, any young comic, I will give it to him. I will help him out in any way I can.
Man, you know, I'm telling you.
I will too, for sure.
Pete Davidson, Jay Farrell will tell you in a minute how many times I've cursed them out about being just, y'all, it's just stupid. Y'all have me right here.
Yeah.
You have me right here. And I'm funnier than you motherfuckers. You have me right here. I remember one time me and Pete almost got into a straight, no, well, I don't know if he knew that he was about to get his ass whooped, but I think he suspected. I think he suspected that he was about to encounter an ass whooping from me.
I don't think Pete would really stand much of a chance. Yeah.
Oh no, no one would, sweetie.
Yeah. I don't know, Les. I'll give you a run for your money.
Motherfucker, I'll kick you straight in your knee, right in your knee.
I have strong knees, Leslie.
Yeah, but I don't. So
I wouldn't fight you, Leslie.
I had my knee brace on stage one day, and he was like, "What do you got that knee brace on?" I was like, "I need this person to death."
I killed someone with
my
knee.
He was talking to me in the audience, and I just started kneeing him to death.
So you almost beat up Pete Davidson.
Yeah, okay, so
this is what I'm talking about.
The first time we were at a host meal, like on host meal, we take the host to dinner on the writing day, and you know, we make them feel comfortable and stuff. And you know, some of the some of the cast member, and you know, come and talk to them with Lauren and stuff. So we're at this dinner, and he's like, I don't think Richard Pryor. No. He said this after. I think that dinner after I was about to whoop his ass. Either one, both of them still. He's at this dinner. He's like, I don't think that's what happened. Yo, let me start again. We was in Keenan's office first on writing day, smoking weed. And Pete was like, I'm be honest, I don't think Richard Pryor's funny. I mean, I looked at his special, and I don't think he's funny. So I stopped and I said, hey, young buck, hey, you might, what the fuck? Like, you playing, right? Cause like, don't say shit just cause you want to shock motherfuckers. That's what's wrong with you, you little young motherfuckers. Y'all like to say shit cause you think you shocking motherfuckers. And that's going to make people listen to you. But you have no foundation behind the fucking bullshit you say cause you have no life. You're fucking nothing, motherfucker. I said, don't you ever in your life blaspheme. You blaspheme.
It's blasphemy.
I said, that's blasphemous, motherfucker, to somebody like me. You're going to say you don't like Richard Pryor? I'll whoop your fucking ass. I will whoop your ass in this room today. And then he starts going, he starts saying, so I was like, oh, you have something to say? Oh. Man, I'm talking about I dug in his ass to where he got the fuck up and walked out because he knew that some shit was finna go down. And Keenan just was sitting there like.
Just looking at the desk.
When he walked out, he was like, whew. Youngblood don't know what's up. Youngblood don't know how to shut up, dude. He don't know how to shut his mouth when he needs to shut his mouth. So then I think it was like 2 weeks later, the finale, I think Drake was it was the guest. I remember this because Che was sitting beside me, and I remember he said the shit again. Well, he didn't say it, but he did like Che, like, was like, yeah, I don't want to say anything because this is going to, you know, beat me up. And then Che was like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, this stupid motherfucker said that Richard Pryor wasn't funny. And then Che was like, oh, I'm not even. Like, Che was like, what? Like, and then even I, when Lauren did like this, when Lauren went, I knew I had the table. I said, yeah. So you think you safe because you sitting over there by Lauren? I said, I'll jump across this motherfucking table and jab you in the fucking neck with this fucking fork, you motherfucker. You still talking shit. And then Drake goes, oh, well, you know, I mean, I understand what he's saying because he's from this generation. I said, hey, you a comedian? You a comic? We're not talking about rap. We're not talking about rap. And Drake was like, Drake went right back
to the floor tile. Wow, look at these floor tiles
in here. We're not talking about, are we talking about rap? We're not talking about rap.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I said, I'm going to whoop your fucking ass. I was like, he's not going to help you. You think Lauren's going to help you? Lauren wants me to whoop your ass. He likes that. He likes when I do stuff like that.
That's fucking awesome.
Just new jacks.
Why would he
say
that?
They don't listen. They don't get it. First of all,
he hasn't listened. What does he listen to of Richard Pryor that he would even say that? There's maybe one. Did he watch like 1 2-minute chunk?
There's nothing to me.
Sunset
there's nothing
Strip
to me.
Or so, like, what?
There's nothing to me that you could ever listen to from Richard Pryor and not learn something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is what I'm saying about the generation of comedy. Everything right now is so microwave and stupid. And people don't understand how stupid and microwave it is that, hey, let me explain something to you. Comedy is like wine. You can't just instantly make that shit. It takes a minute to make a really good joke. It takes a minute to make a really good comic. And the comic that I was when I started is nowhere near the comic that I am now. And when you don't appreciate growth, you don't grow. Whenever I see a new jack do a special, I literally want to quit, buy some guns, and start sniping. You don't got, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say after 4 years of comedy. I never want to hear you. And maybe on Comic View, maybe on Comedy Central for 5 minutes. But if you dare do 45 minutes, you piece of shit. So I'm telling new jacks.
You should open a comedy school.
I had classes. I had classes.
Did you?
Oh, God.
For
my class.
I would love to have you
audition.
Out there telling these young guys and girls what they really need to do.
No, it's just real. Because, like, you know, Pete and all of them was asking me, do you want to, yeah, should I do my, no, you shouldn't be doing a special. You are not funny enough for that.
Wait till you have a good hour.
Yes. Because now you didn't win out. Because now you go out and you do this half-ass bullshit special. Nobody gonna listen to the second one.
It's gonna blend in with all the others.
You have to believe in yourself. The hard part is in this business, when you get it, you gotta get it. Like, if it's on the table to do a special, you might not be ready, but it might not be on the table later. So that there is that as a reality. Maybe not for Pete.
Yeah, but you know what? That's when you, as a real comic, go, I'm not fucking ready.
Yeah.
Don't sacrifice that shit just because the opportunity is there. Because trust me, DC, the opportunity does come back.
Okay.
It fucking does, man. I always tell people say I just made it, but I have made it a billion times. I have made it so many times. Trust me, you come to that threshold more than one time and you want to do it the right time. I'm so happy they got me now, because now I'm at the best of my best. You know what I'm saying? I've tried and true.
You've lived, you've got something to say.
You don't feel like you're at a party that you weren't invited to.
Exactly. I don't have to lose my goddamn mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like all the stuff that I've been going through this year, it's amazing when people come up to me and go, you're just so brave. It was like, bitch, I'm living. Well, your life kicking the shit out of you too. It's just no camera on you. Yeah. You're brave too, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm in the public living and surviving my life, that don't mean that I'm the only hero. You know, that's what's wrong with us. We this social media and this all of this, if we're not being seen or people are not acknowledging us, we don't think we're nothing. But that's the dumbest shit ever.
It is.
It's a job, people. This is our job, to entertain.
Well, but people want people to look up to.
Yeah, but
people
look
need
up
people
to yourself.
To look up to.
Yeah.
Look up to yourself. Every day that you get up, every day you get up and get out your bed and get ready for work and not kill someone, you deserve some.
But also people want to escape. You're an avenue for people to
and
escape.
That's
it's a
great.
Very important job.
Oh, it is. Very it's very job. Important, but don't put me on this pedestal to where I am a warlock or something. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard
I'm
if you don't
hope.
Know somebody.
I'm giving
them
hope.
People don't know you, so they have an image of you. It's hard for them to have a realistic, something like this, us talking right now.
Right.
That's going to let people know how you really feel, who
you
really are.
Because it's crazy because, like, I'm telling you, the thing that I'm having a hard time dealing with is the fame. I literally didn't think that was going to be the thing. I thought that I was going to absorb that shit. Like, I fucking hate it.
Do you really?
I hate it. It's because I'm trapped. First of all, I'm trapped in my home. I can't go anywhere.
Right.
If Leslie goes somewhere, is Leslie Jones going somewhere? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's no such thing as me just going to get my nails done or just going to, I'm going to have to deal with taking some pictures, talking to some people, dealing with. No, I was getting my nails done yesterday and came outside. This dude jumps out of his fucking car in the middle of traffic. And runs over to me. He's like, I love you. Oh, my God. Can I get a picture? And I'm like,
oh, man.
You know, and it's like, I got attacked on a plane by this dude that, because first of all, I don't take pictures a lot in public places because once you take one, it's 50.
Everybody.
I swear to God, people do not understand that. And I swear
Some people do.
Most of them do not, and you want to explain to them, sweetie, just you coming up to me asking me for this pitch, there's like 23 motherfuckers watching to see if I'm going to say yes.
You go through that, Bailey, you got the
And it's like some people are cool.
Some people are cool.
Some people are cool.
You know what I love is when people go, they come up to you while you're eating with friends, and they go, I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, but like, you're going to.
But you are.
Yeah, but you are. You already have. I don't want to blow you up. I don't want to blow you up. Yeah, well, you just did.
I've had people wait until after. And when you're coming out of the place, they say, hey, I didn't want to interrupt, but I'd love to get a picture. And I have total respect for that. And it's true. If someone asks you for a picture, you say, you okay? Pretty soon you take a picture with everybody. Doesn't take long. Yeah. And then it's like, we came in here to eat and we've been in here for an hour.
Right.
And we haven't even sat down yet.
Taking pictures. Times for that. Sometimes I don't mind. But sometimes I just want to get my fucking food and leave.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the hard part is you don't really have that.
It's like,
you don't really have that option.
You give that up. It's like you're trading it in. You're trading in the anonymity and a lot of freedom.
So
it's hard to negotiate. And a lot of people, they don't mean anything bad.
And I swear to God, I know that they don't. I know that they don't,
but
sometimes I really think people get temporary insanity.
Yeah.
I remember I was in Austin doing that festival. Me and Colin was together, which was a big mistake. Me and Colin can't stand anywhere together without literally getting mobbed. Like, they really believe that shit is real. Because we would happen to be standing outside. This guy was fixing
Colin from
food.
The show.
Yeah, Colin Jost.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from the show. And we were, and I was just like leaning on him like this. People lost every bit of their fucking mind. Oh my God, you guys are together. We knew you guys were together. It was, I mean, this one lady, and this is the first time that I recognized temporary insanity.
Because you guys have that banter.
Right.
Yeah.
This is when I recognized temporary insanity. This lady was taking pictures. At first, I wasn't going to take. I took pictures with this girl because she was like, no, I'm not going to bother. And I remember grabbing her saying, no, I'm going to take a picture with you because she was just real cool. Take a picture with her. This lady comes out of nowhere, pushes her out the way.
Damn.
No, pushes her out the way. Like
a stranger. Some shit.
No, I'm talking about like if she did that to me, I would have turned around and knuckle sandwiched that hoe. Are you serious, bitch? Did you just
love
push
the
me? You fucking hobbit. You fucking bitch. You bottom of the bare ass bitch.
I missed your anger and violence on this series.
Oh my God. So she pushed the girls out the way and then had the nerve to take her camera and shove it into her arms and said, take this picture.
To the woman she just pushed?
Yes. So I turned around and I said, first of all, slow your motherfucking roll. I was like, take a second and think about what the fuck you just did. Do you know? Literally in her face, she was like, oh my, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. She literally didn't even realize.
Yeah, she didn't know what she was doing.
She literally didn't even realize what she had did.
Wow.
She was almost in tears because she was like, oh my God, don't act like this. I love you so much. And
I opened for him at a college, and we talked about this before, but I've never seen this. I opened for Bailey at a college, and at the end, we're going to sell some merch together. So we're chilling out together, and there's a line of people. I mean, these kids were out on the lawn beforehand, like scoping. We had to go in another exit. They were out scoping. Like there was a
literally,
lookout, all
you're
that shit.
Literally still on TV.
So we're at the desk selling the merch. There's a line, and Bailey looks over. He's like, there's a shaker, right? I'm like, what the fuck is a shaker, right?
Yeah, what's a shaker?
This guy walks by. He's shaking. He's like, are you Ben Bailey? He's the next thing. He's like, Ben, I've been waiting for this date for so long. You signed this seat. I'm like, holy shit.
I think
shit.
My friends flipped out on you, too. Didn't my friends flip out? They were like, oh, my God. That's the guy from Cascade. I was like, calm the fuck down. Okay, calm down.
I have a weird level of fame. Like, I could walk into a group of people that I don't know, and they might not notice for 10 minutes. And then one of them would be like, holy shit. And then all of a sudden, we're like, I'm like, I've been sitting here for 10 minutes. You guys didn't even know.
Did you have that regular guy look?
I just look like some regular dude, I guess.
I think it's not
that crazy for me now.
When Cash Cab was at its peak, it was kind of nuts. I just remember, didn't even know, and late night flipped it on, and I was like, fucking Van Day, what are you doing in a cab? What the fuck is this? Is this a game show? What is happening?
Yeah. I think that was the main reaction. It was like, everyone was like,
what the fuck is going on? This is a show? Why is it on at 3 o'clock in the morning? Why is this? And I just remember my friends was like, you know this guy. Oh my God. And I was like, you need to calm down.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is a regular motherfucker. God. He's fucking regular.
I was blown away by, and I was thrown by being famous. Seemingly overnight. Mm-hmm. It wasn't literally, but mm-hmm. it's pretty quick. How it went from nobody knew who I was at all
mm-hmm.
to when I went outside,
mm-hmm.
Someone, at least someone, was going to know me. It throws you for a loop.
Yeah, but see,
it's like walking into a cartoon.
You could put a hat on and some sunglasses and probably get away. I can't do shit. I have put hats on. I have put glasses.
Wigs? You ever put a wig?
No, I ain't went that far. Uh-huh.
You know what's kind of weird? I sort of figured out a way to kind of hide in plain sight.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
And it's almost just a feeling. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I almost have like different modes when I'm out and about. And I know I'm not like fucking movie star famous, but
no.
A lot of people know who I am.
Yeah.
So enough that it's been a thing for me to deal with. And I can almost... It's almost a feeling, a state of mind for mm-hmm. me.
Just become samurai and shit.
If I'm open to it, it comes. If I'm not, I just carry myself slightly differently. I don't look directly at people.
Right.
I keep my head down. I stick to my business. People maybe notice me or recognize me, but they don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because of my body language.
Right. Yeah. Now, I've learned how to put the beats on and just keep my head down. Keep the glasses on. Even if I hear somebody say something, don't look that way. Just keep going because you just all you can hear. Huh, what's that? Is that? Oh my God. Who's the last leg? Oh, it's like.
I would always hear cash cab. Like I just hear that, you know?
I'm like, oh,
yeah. You probably get it crazy. Like
it's. Well, this is the thing about me is that I only have black fans. You know, I mean, I had Black fans, BET, Def Jam.
Oh, right, in the past, you mean.
Yeah. And now, I remember this, before all this stuff happened, I said, the ultimate thing would be if Asian people came up to me and was like tourists and like, Leslie, we need picture with Leslie Jones. And I said, that's when I know I'm going to make it. Shit. I was in Vegas, and this family, this Yugoslavian family, no, it was a family, and they were insane. Leslie Jones! I was like, holy shit. That's crazy. Man, when I went to the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk to you about. I'm an Olympics fan.
I had people sitting outside the fucking hotel. You were waiting for me to come out.
Noticeable watching the Olympics as any of the athletes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm huge into it. Because I'm an athlete, you know? Like, I love swimming.
How
and
do you not be into the Olympics?
I
it's the
love
World
it.
Games.
And I saw, it was a, you put a, was it Twitter or Facebook?
It was a boomerang. And, first of all, I had my team prepared for Olympics. 2 or 3 weeks, they was already shopping for flags and hats.
Nice.
And I told my stylist, if you don't get me an American flag onesie, you're fired.
That's reasonable. Those are reasonable terms.
That's it.
You can make one if you have to.
It took him a long time to find, and he found it.
Yeah.
And when he found it, I put it on, and I said, baby, it is Olympic time. That was going to be I had no gigs booked. I had the refrigerator stocked. It was that time.
You can watch every minute of the Olympics.
I had my computer. I had my iPad. I had my TV split screen. I was going to see at least 4 events at all times.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
I fucking love the Olympics.
So do I.
So when we did that
literally
boomerang.
Literally my favorite thing to watch on TV ever.
I couldn't believe how people reacted to me reacting to the Olympics. I was like, well, I don't understand. There's got to be crazier people than me.
But people really did respond.
Yeah, that's because I kept putting up the videos, too, of all the... It was just
Your enthusiasm was contagious, and it was real. And so, what happened? So
I forgot what it was that got posted. I think I posted a guy running or something I posted really funny because I would commentate on a lot of the stuff. And you know the synchronized swimming? Like, I would put them in. I was like, this is how I walk into Dunkin' Donuts and the bitches was coming. Like, and I would
the
put stuff
smile.
Like that. Yeah, oh my God. Just
Did you put
it.
A nose clip on?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? just having fun like that. So I think Mike Shoemaker tweeted out to Jim Bell, who's the commissioner of the Olympics, was like, hey, if you guys ain't got her up there, y'all not doing your job. And then Jim Bell hits me on Twitter and was like, hey, you want to come to the Olympics? So then I was like, they're fucking around. Then I get a call from Lauren Michaels, and he's like, you want to go to the Olympics? And I was like, no, this is my time off. I'm watching
it. I'm at home.
I'm at
all
home
set.
Watching.
I got
the 4 screens. And he was like, don't be ridiculous, Leslie. It's the fucking Olympics. They're going to bring you out. You're going to be first class. I was like, it's in Rio. I don't want to catch the Zika. He was like, oh, my God. He was like, oh, my God. I know he was like, you're so fucking ignorant. No, no, it's the Olympics. Go. They're going to treat you well. You're going to have a good time. Go out and do it. So I remember I had just came off of the Ghostbusters thing. I was exhausted. So I was like, oh, man. So I remember texting my stylist, and I was like, oh, they want me to go to the Olympics, man. I don't want to go. And I remember him calling me going, are you fucking crazy? Bitch, I'm coming over. We're packing. We're fucking going. So we went and...
Was it great?
It was awesome. You know, I don't even know if I have my phone, but make sure that I show you the film that I played ping pong against Mary Carolla.
Okay.
You
did a bunch of stuff with her, right?
I had like 3 headbands on. I had a tennis suit. I had 3 pairs of socks. And I had these big ass shoes. I had armband. And I came in with the American flag. And I was like, Mary! And I couldn't play worth a shit.
Doesn't matter, though.
Didn't even hit. Dude, when I show you these films, you're going to be like, what? this is fucking crazy. Bob Costas probably hates me because I gave him the what for.
What do you mean? Oh, I wish I had seen that. I didn't see that.
I just didn't like him. I didn't like the way he was doing the athletes. He was mispronouncing bitches' names and shit. You are at the Olympics. These are athletes. Respect them. He went to London and got the pink eye. Do you know you could have got one of our athletes sick? You don't give a fuck, Bob Costas.
Oh, he kept avoiding me too.
Take that, Costas.
He kept avoiding me too.
Did he really? You gave him shit.
I gave him
to his
shit
face, like, all in an interview.
No,
with
but
him?
They would never let me talk to him. But any chance I could, I was giving him shit.
That's so funny that it's him. Because everybody thinks of him as like the consummate
what
interviewer.
What the fuck
like,
ever. He's
Wes
sitting
is like,
in this
shut
cold,
your mouth, cautious.
Shut up. You're sitting in a cold ass studio. And this is Rio. Where you at? Where's your Hawaiian shirt? Get the fuck out of here.
What's your favorite event?
Oh. Okay, track and field is beautiful. It's something that you'll never, ever forget in your life. Your eyes will never forget what you see when you go to track and field. It's the most beautiful, greenest. You'll never forget that sight of seeing track and field, of them running. They look like horses.
Wow.
That's how Usain Bolt? Yo, real talk. DC, he wasn't running hard.
Really?
He was running, and the other runners veins was damn near pumping out. And Usain was just like,
he's just cruising. Looks like.
It was fucking incredible. That's the most incredible thing to see. But my favorite thing, beach volleyball.
The beach volleyball. That's a popular one, man.
It's a party, and the two girls, my girls. Oh my god. I was just like out there.
I saw you out there a lot.
I was out there. I know that they thought I was crazy.
I try to watch every, same as you, I try to watch as much of it as I can. I record, I load two DVRs. I record it on the main recordings.
Yeah.
I record the late night ones, the morning
and
repeats,
see,
all of it, because they're not all the same.
Right. And my job was to go to the events that people didn't know about. So I went to it's called the Melodrome. Melodrome is where they ride the bicycles.
It's the velodrome.
Velodrome. Well, I was calling it the helodrome because them
where
bikes,
the indoor track is.
They damn near was on the wall. It was like, it was crazy.
They go so fast.
And then we went to this trampoline. I guess the people who can't make it in gymnastics, they go to the trampoline because these mugs was jumping like high. I was seeing events wow.
Now you were covering some of these events?
Well, I was, go to some of them, tweet it out. They wanted me to do a lot of tweeting and pictures.
Because that sounds interesting. I think one of the things with the Olympics is that people don't get to see some of the more obscure stuff that they really want to see.
Exactly.
So, like a segment.
We was having so much fun.
Oh, that'd be great to televise that.
We went
here's the stuff you never see.
Yeah, we went to the judo.
Yeah, that's
really
God. Cool.
Yeah, I had... Man, Mary laughing so damn hard at them fighting. Oh, it was just... that was so fun. That we had a good time. We had a really good time.
Did you hang out with some of the athletes?
Yes, I got to see some of the athletes. The swimmers love me. All of the swimmers love it. Ledecky's, my medal. It was just so... what's the dude? The dude with all the medals?
Phelps,
yes. Yeah. Him. Got to meet him. I got to meet... And so
Phelps
funny,
is,
Ryan...
Did you smoke with him?
No, but let me tell you, though, the Ryan dude, the day before all that
Ryan
shit went down...
Yeah.
I remember yelling to him, "You better stay out of trouble, boy. You look like you're about to get in trouble."
You could see it on him, huh?
Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it in all of them. The swimmers are
interesting characters.
They wild. They wild. The swimmers are wild.
I bowled with Phelps once.
He's so sweet.
I kicked his ass.
He's a sweet guy.
He's like, "You're a great swimmer. You're not much of a bowler." He was very nice.
That's
that's what I started to say before, back to the fame thing. What I was blown away by was when other famous people knew me.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. I was like, what? When Michael Phelps goes, "Oh my God, I see you on TV every day." I'm like, what?
What? Thank you. That happened.
You're Michael Phelps. What the fuck are you talking about? It's just so strange.
When I met Tom Hanks, Tom Hanks.
Oh, I
and
saw a picture. You posted
like,
a picture of you guys.
Was like,
that's so cool.
Oh my God, we love you. And I was like, oh. Fucking Forrest Gump. Yeah, fucking Philadelphia. Hey, you got it. Hey, fucking him. Hey, buzz on buzz. And hey. I was just like, are you kidding? He was so normal. That what I like is when I meet him and they're so normal. They're more excited
as opposed
about
to getting disappointed.
Me than right. me being, right. you yeah. know, meeting them.
It's, and he's a real just super cool dude.
So, one like so normal is ridiculous and so good. Like when he yeah. came on, and I don't know if y'all remember the sketch, the Family Feud sketch where he played the Trump dude. Let me tell you
oh.
something.
He oh, was. Shit. I really like
he
to see
had,
that now.
He decided up until that moment to the live show of how he was going to do that character. And I'm telling you, we knew as soon as the camera come on that he knew what he was going to do. Because there was a point where Keenan went to go step to him and he stepped back. He was like, no, no. And it was so good. We were like, oh, this month. Now we know why you've done it 6 times. We know why you and Alec Bowen, like when you work with somebody oh, like so Alec cool. Bowen, Alec Bowen is a beast.
Yeah.
He's a fucking beast, dude. He's like really like a beast.
He's
and
does
I love,
so much shit. His impressions.
He's
is
so
like,
good. He's right, so you know, good. And
dramatic
so
acting.
So precise.
I always loved him. He's one of those yeah. guys. I just like as soon as you see him,
he
and
looks
he
like
starts
he might
talking,
be a dick.
Right.
You know, he looks
no,
like he might.
But you
he
like
could,
him anyway.
He could be.
But you like
he
him anyway.
Be. Yeah.
You're rooting
he could be.
For
but
him.
He's a good dick though. Yeah. Like he's a you don't mind if he did something dicky to you. You'd be like, that's Alec Bowen. That's Alec Bowen. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. He's always good.
It's so weird, though. It's like when you meet all of the celebrities and you go, I don't want to meet anyone that's going to kill my fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It happens.
You,
know,
you don't
want to
be
it's
disappointed by someone that you idolize.
Yeah.
You know what's that makes me think of is pretty much unrelated, except that it's being disappointed by that. We've been watching this Einstein show on National Geographic. It's called Genius. It's about Albert Einstein.
Oh,
I'm so disappointed.
Why?
I'm just like, he was kind of a douchebag.
Really?
He's brilliant. He's a dreamer. He's a smart, you know, super open-minded, smart guy.
Yeah,
but he like treats the people in his life like shit.
Because when you have that much knowledge, you know how stupid people are.
Don't make excuses for him.
So you go, God, you're a fucking idiot. Jesus. I mean, and oxygen is being wasted on you. Jesus.
Well, but that's the thing to me is like, how could this brilliant guy be so stupid when it comes to understanding people? He just was like,
I think a lot of times humans get caught up a lot in emotions too. That's what our fucking downfall is.
No doubt about it.
I think our downfall is that.
Yeah. I'm a man who was emotionally kind of crippled for a long time. Like, didn't really feel much or express much. I was either angry or I was nothing. Masking everything with anger, and then figured out, like, holy shit, there's actually all this shit under here.
Right.
And the emotions come out, and I'm like, life is better because mm-hmm. I'm feeling things like I should, but it's so much harder
because you
get caught up in it. Like,
you feel
fucking,
more.
It's like quicksand.
Yep.
Like, I just wasted half a day feeling sad or remorseful mm-hmm. when if I didn't have these darn emotions, I could have gotten
it
some fucking work
done.
Oh,
my God. That's like that, so, you know what? That's so true because I just went through something and it was like I didn't even really get to enjoy the BETs like I wanted to because I was dealing with something else.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah. And then I was like, when it was over, I was like, damn, you know, how come when something happens that we can't just sit that shit to the side and go, okay, you know, that's not, because when it came down to it, the shit wasn't even that important. And it's like, okay, so I messed up my whole experience when I could have just been like, okay, I'll deal with this later. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have been pissed if I would have let that ruin what happened to me today. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we really let our emotions take away joy that we might supposed to be feeling.
But if you're feeling that depth of emotion towards whatever that thing is, it's hard to step back. And
oh,
be like,
so
I'm only
hard.
Gonna portion out this much.
It is.
I'm only gonna portion out this much.
It is.
Because you're in it.
You're swimming
you're
in, it.
In it.
Yeah.
Yep. So
it's so hard. It really is hard.
And
you try so hard.
You're right, Leslie. It's often something that's not that important.
Right.
But it just got you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, oh,
And you're like, and then you're stuck for a while. Control? Like, I wasn't, once I got it solved, like, I was paralyzed until I got it solved. Once I got it solved, I was like, oh, I'm good now. And it's like, that shouldn't be like that. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be like that.
It's hard to put it away. It's hard, like, if that's what you've done for years, is just bury it.
Right.
Then you have to teach yourself not to.
Right.
And then it's hard to again when you kind of need to.
When you need to.
You know what heals it all, though, is performing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
whatever it is.
Just going on stage.
Get up there and start talking, and it just vanishes.
Yeah. That's so crazy because I had a show after the BTs, one of the best shows I've done in a while. And it was like, it's like when you pull jokes from your gut, and you go, oh, man, I ain't did that joke
and it
in
hits
so long.
Like a
and it just... It not you could just look out the audience and see somebody go, ah, you're like, yes, this is why I do
were
it.
Were you limited in what you could say when you're hosting?
When you're hosting? BT? Yes, of course.
I had a thing. I hosted a game show, another game, not Cash Cab, a thing called Who's Still Standing. And it was, we had an audience. It was a big time show. For NBC, we had people on trap doors, and if they got an answer wrong, they dropped through the door.
Damn.
And we got a big, huge live audience, and I'm hosting, and they want me to be funny and keep the game, you know, do what I do, the game show host guy, whatever. But the audience can't hear me. And so they're not reacting to my jokes.
Oh.
And I'm like, you guys, this has got to change. We got to change this around. It's bad enough that I'm performing live in front of this crowd, and I'm very limited in what I can say and where I can move on the stage and all this stuff. It's making it very difficult. They've got to make it so they can hear me. So we finally got to where they could hear me, and then I could hear them responding, and then we were good. But I was very limited into what I could do then. And the first show I did, that took 3.5 weeks to shoot that, I think. Then we flew back east, and I drove up to Mohegan Sun, and I had a show, packed house at Mohegan Sun. 1,000 people, 1,100 people or something. I had one of the best shows I've had. Like, it just...
Yeah.
It was just... I just felt you just what released. You felt when you were saying that. Like,
just cause, like,
it was, I was like Godzilla.
Yeah.
You just barreling like, through the city. Like, there's nothing's going to stop me. Say, I'm going to knock this thing out.
But this
out.
Is what people don't realize, that that's a developed skill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You feel like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. There was years that we went... where we were petrified to get up on stage.
I had a show like that. I spent the night, I think I talked about this, but I spent the night with my mom in the psych ward. She was in the psych ward. She had Alzheimer's, and she was like on the way out. And
You spoke about it some, but.
Yeah, and I was in there with her, and it was just crazy. I'd never been, you know, my dad's like, I'm wiped out. But we were taking care of my mom. We didn't put her in anywhere, whatever. Right. So we had her, he's like, she's got to go in for the night for, I forget what it was. You know, it was, anyway, but she was in there, and I had to go fly to LA like the next day and tape Ferguson or something. I don't know what it was. And just the shit that I saw, and she didn't remember who I was. She didn't remember who I was. She's like, who's that man out there? I don't know. She's like, who are you? I'm like, I'm your son. You know, blah, blah. It was just a long night. Long story, it was a long night. But I had done these How You Doing commercials and these Budweiser How You Doing commercials. Guys sit around, How You Doing, How You Doing? And some guy that was in there in the psych ward walked by and was like, How You Doing? And he kept walking by and going, How You Doing? How You Doing? So kind of, he recognized me from these commercials, right? And the next day, I flew to LA, and after all that, it was a tough experience. Just kind of fucked me up or everything. But the show that I had, I don't remember what, I don't even think it was the TV. I think I did a set that night. After the TV show in a club, and it was like, oh man, it just made everything better for that time, and then it readjusted all the buttons so that when I got off, I'm like, okay, now I'm better prepared to deal with what just happened and process it. Comedy helps you process. You process your life through comedy for the people, but comedy is this vehicle for you to process all this shit around you to keep going. And that's a lot of the reason we get into this shit is getting through our lives growing up, the hard times, we use the comedy to get through that shit.
And,
so it's,
but do you know that people use our comedy to get through shit?
Yeah.
And that's what makes me mad when a bad comic goes up. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going, God damn it, we have a job to do. We have a service. We have a service to do. Because laughter is a commodity.
Yeah.
Just like art, just like food, just like air, we need to laugh. And
it's much more scarce.
Yeah, the comics now, they're just awful. They're awful and they're unoriginal. And
there's some good ones. There's some good comics.
They think they need to make a fucking statement, and they don't. They don't need to teach shit. They need to just get up and do some fucking comedy, because that's what your job is. I didn't come to the comedy store to fucking learn. I came to laugh. There is some good ones, but not as many as it was when we were coming up. Yeah. And what we need
changed,
to realize,
right? There's a lot of kids that are
but what we need to realize,
marketing.
Though, we need to get out of that, because that social media shit puts them in front. And we're from old school. We ain't used to have that shit. But trust and believe the comics that we need. Like, when people tell me how funny I am, I'll be like, well, you would not realize how many other funny motherfuckers came from where I am.
Yeah.
Go look for these people. When I'm in SNL, when I'm talking to people, I'm giving them names of people that they never heard of. Because, oh, no, this person's going to be. No, bring That's this awesome. Person in. This is who you need. This is because, like, when
not
they hired me.
Yeah,
yeah, when they hired me, they didn't realize that they were hiring much knowledge. Like, it wasn't just about the age. I have actually been I've been where you're going to look for people and you're looking in the wrong places.
Yeah.
You're going to the wrong clubs. You're looking at the wrong sets.
Yeah. It's not always the case, but a lot of times when you hear that SNL was coming around and there were auditions going, they were looking for people. I don't want to say I was appalled or shocked or whatever by who they did go with, but I was often surprised by who they didn't go with.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, how did they not take Greer Barnes?
Right.
Or
because
people that I know can do these great voices and do these great characters. And,
they go by, how can I put it? I hate to say this because I don't want to be like fucked up because I love Sashir. I love her to death. But when they were picking, they don't know. They think, let's pick a black girl who's pretty. She can talk, she can sing, she's beautiful, she's very talented actress. Sashir is very talented. But I don't think it was the black girl they wanted. It was the black girl they thought they needed, but it's not the black girl they needed. Does that make sense? How can I put this? Okay, let me put...
I think I understand what you're saying.
I want to say it without being fucked up.
No, you're not being fucked
up. It's like...
Well, who are we talking about?
Sashir.
It's like on the show. It's like certain things would happen, and I would be like, I know what they want. I know what they want her to do. I know what they want her to do, and she wouldn't be able to hit it the way, because she wasn't raised like that. That's not where she came from. You know what I mean? When they wanted that, okay, she couldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
Do you get what
I guess you're saying?
And me, the black girl that I am. I'm that black girl, but I'm a lot of stuff. I'm a black man too. I'm everything. I'm like a whole package of fucking. I call myself what is that flavor? That flavor that you can't use all the time. The hot shit, paprika. I call myself paprika. You add me to shit, I'm gonna make it taste paprika. Nice, but you can't put it on everything. You know what I'm saying? You can't put it by itself. I wouldn't say I couldn't be by myself. I would just say I'd be too much. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people be like, oh, come on. Let's put her on the desk. No. I'm doing just fine by coming in just sometimes. Uh-huh. That's what you need from me. Uh-huh. You only need a little bit of me. Uh-huh. Because a little bit of me go a long way.
It's a concentrate.
I'm concentrate.
Yes.
I'm a concentrate of a lot of things. Uh-huh.
They're
you know
looking
what I'm
for something.
Because I'm not the black girl they need either. I'm something else. Uh-huh. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense.
It makes total sense.
Like they need somebody like Nefertari Spencer. Nefertari is good. Like they need somebody like her. They need somebody that can be very classy and do that singing stuff, but on the other side can do. You know, they need the full.
Uh huh.
God, I might have said some fucked up. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't say anything fucked up.
You didn't. It's that's the way the business works.
They look for something. They have a specific idea of what they want.
Right.
And because they're looking for that. They're not seeing
people
that are right there that could be that and many other things.
I think me coming in has changed that, like has changed their perception on what they need. Uh-huh. Like, cause it's a lot. When I came in, these writers, they was just, you know, at the job. And I came in like, you motherfuckers play baseball every week. We're playing baseball. And they got excited again. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
You hyped bring it up.
You know, you bring that, you know, I'm at the table read, the first table read. I'm like, why ain't nobody laughing? I'm laughing loud. That's funny. They had never had that before.
Everyone just sitting there with their mouths
open. They could not understand when they would turn. I mean, people would turn like, yeah, that shit was funny. I remember even one time I was like, that's not, I don't even understand that joke. Like, I would do stuff like
that's
stuff
great.
Like that.
That's so, great. That's how it should be.
So, like, the next season.
An open, creative environment.
Yeah, as a writer, I'm
like
doing
that.
This. Yeah. As a writer. So then when it came about, like, the end of that season, and was it going to bring me back after I did the update and stuff, they gave me six updates. Huh. But I was like, they didn't put me as a cast member. They just gave me six updates. And I was like, hey, I know what I'm bringing there. I know what I'm bringing there, and I knew what I had to do was take myself out. Uh-huh. So I went there the first week, did the update, killed it, and just didn't show up the second week. Just no table read, no nothing. And when they saw me, I came to the show, to the live show. Everybody was like, where have you been? So then it was required for me to come in. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, because, nice. Well
yeah,
played.
Yeah, because it's like I'm bringing that energy. You know what I'm saying? It's, and then the, people see it. People, Lauren saw it, and he's like, we're just going to make you a cast member. You're not going to go win the Super Bowl somewhere else.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
like
I love that quote.
Smart, insightful guy.
Yeah. Because I knew if I took myself out the equation that they was going, that equation was not going to equal up to what they thought it was going to equal up to.
Do you think if that happened to you 5 years ago, 7 years ago or something, you wouldn't necessarily have been ready?
Babe, I'm so happy it happened when it did. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because I would have burnt that shit out. First of all, I would have fucked everybody. You know? Like, y'all laughing, but I would have smooth fucked Colin. Colin would have got fucked. He would have got fucked. I would have fucked a lot of the crew. It would have been disastrous. I would have had the worst attitude. Oh, the worst, because I thought I was the shit. You know? So, no. It would have been bad.
That's great.
It would have been bad.
It's great that it
yeah, you have
then.
To go through. I had to go through like death and all of that to just bring me to a place of like, oh, okay, no. Like you need to live life a little bit better now. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, you live and learn. It's you know, like you said,
more
it's
sensible.
Wine. It's wine. Wine tastes best when it's sad a little bit. The grapes, everything marinates. It knows its
you
flavor.
You want a seasoned person. You know? You want a or you want a person that you could put up there and that if some shit go down, they're quick on knowing how. Man, I don't know how many times cars be fucked up and I just be like, I already know the joke. You know what I'm saying? I already know the joke. You know, it's just like your professionalism comes through.
So both,
it becomes second nature.
What if you guys had like your perfect career, your perfect thing, vehicle? What's your perfect vehicle? For you, like the, your thing that you would like.
Well, it ain't the cash cab.
That's the thing you would.
For me,
what
I
on or
vehicle
whatever.
That I would want to do. I want to make movies is what I always wanted.
Yeah,
to do.
I was.
That's how I got
too.
Into stand up. But I think I'm like a movie tough guy. If anything,
like an action,
I want to be
like
a villain. I wouldn't mind being a villain, but I wouldn't mind doing a heart piece. You know, I always said that I would do Pearl Bailey, a movie about Pearl Bailey.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like I'm very close to everybody. I was like, oh, no, you need to do Nina Simone. It's like, I don't sing. You know, Pearl Bailey was a comedian. Uh-huh. She was the only female that could perform with the Rat Pack. She was the only one that was on Ed Sullivan's show. Like, she was a bad bitch.
That's a cool-ass vehicle.
Yeah.
I would see that.
Yeah,
I'd see that in a second.
Yeah. She was bad. She was Dorothy Dandridge's best friend. It's like, she was the shit.
Well, you might get to do it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Something like that could be really fun.
Isn't it funny how we start off and we have all these specific things that we want, and then you're like, oh, you don't get to decide.
Yeah, you don't get to decide.
You can aim, but it's going to take you where it's going to take you, and that's going to be that.
You got to decide to be happy. You gotta decide to be, make it through it and be happy.
That's it.
Or none of it's worth it.
Yeah.
None of it's
worth and it. Please, so and you gotta do stuff that you wanna do too. You gotta, that's what I found that when I'm happiest is when I'm doing projects that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not, it's just I'm there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But don't get me wrong, I love Cash Cab. Yeah. I'm seriously, when I said that, the vehicle thing was hard to pass up. Yeah. But I never meant to be a game show host.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it just happened.
Right. You happen to be a great game show host, you know. It's like,
shit, I never thought I'd be on a sketch show. I'm telling you, when they called me for that shit, I was like, I don't do that shit. I remember telling Chris, I don't do that shit. Why would you tell them that I do? I don't do that shit. I don't do that sketch shit.
Yes, you do.
He was like, you're a fucking idiot. Go and be funny.
It's cool that you've had, it sounds like you've had good people around you helping you make some good decisions along the way.
Yeah.
Starting with your friend who signed you up for the contest.
She
was clearly right.
I'm glad that I learned, that I absorbed stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
gotta be a sponge.
It's not hard for me to, like I said, the stuff that I've been through, everybody's like, oh my God, how did you know what to do? And it's like, yeah, you be grown. You be grown. That's what you do. You know, it's like
you work hard.
You fucking be grown.
You focus.
Yeah.
And you work and you try to improve.
Yeah. And then there's, I'm and a comic. I'm always going to make it funny.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. You know, it's so funny. I'm seeing lightning bugs and I'm just like, wow.
Oh, they're
crazy.
Awesome, man.
That's fucking
You forget
crazy.
About lightning bugs if you live in the city. Right?
I was like, fuck.
They don't go in the city.
They can't. They die.
Yeah.
They have too many lights already there.
Yeah, there's too many lights.
And they go, they get depressed.
We feel no purpose here.
And then they die.
I feel all empty inside. My little light is unimportant in Times Square.
And then somebody does this.
Look, you can smear their guts and they glow.
Oh, shit.
Well, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
It's
I'm so glad you came out to do it. And I'm so glad all this amazing stuff has happened for you.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. That's what we do. We just sit around and talk.
Yeah.
If we could go back to one of those days when we were in Amsterdam, sitting there passing a joint around, and we would never be able to guess how things have ended up since then, right?
No, I always say if I quantum leap back and showed my career to, that's why I did the sketch in BET. I did a sketch where I quantum leap back to me at Roscoe's. But if I quantum leap back and show myself, it's so funny. Everybody was like, what would you say? And in my head, I know me. I would be like, hey, you got your own apartment? You pay rent? You got a car?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them shoes from?
Sweet.
And then I'd be like, give me $100. I know you got it.
Give me some money, man.
I know you got it. I know you got
$100. Future me. And hand it over.
Then the past
me. My size, so give me the shoes.
And then I will beat up the future me and take her money.
Oh, that's a bit. That's a bit. No,
dude, that's the way you end the Leslie. With Leslie,
I will whoop her ass. I'll whoop my future ass. You got it, bitch.
Shit, man. It couldn't have ended better.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That was fantastic.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy for you, too.
Congratulations.
Next time you're going to go to the Olympics, let me know. I'll go with you.
Yes. They want me to go to the winter one. I'll just send you.
No, thank you. Summer games, please.
No, I'm not doing that winter shit. Black people don't.
But I always want to go, so I am going to go at some point.
Yeah. You should. It really is beautiful.
And what... where can people find you and figure out where you're going to be doing stand-up and stuff?
Well, I'm always at the Cellar. I'm always trying to be at the Cellar,
always
doing
at
spots
the Cellar.
There.
Yep.
That's my place. That's the safe place to go, I should say. Mm. You know, we're going to have a couple of updates for August. SNL is going to do a couple of updates for the summer version.
Oh, okay,
so I'll
cool.
probably be part of that, too.
Good deal.
I'm just working on a couple little things, you know.
So you're not really, you don't have time to really be out on the road or any of that?
Not as much as I want to. I do have a gig here and there, you know, to, you know, take care of bills or whatever.
Are you on Twitter and all?
Always.
What's your Twitter?
I think it's Less Dog.
Less Dog, yeah.
Less
Dog,
four G's.
That's right.
With four G's.
Right.
Yeah, because Game of Thrones come on Sunday.
Oh,
I'm known for live
shit.
Tweeting. Yeah,
oh,
Game
that's
of
my
Thrones.
Show, man.
That's right,
I
this
that
Sunday.
Show.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
That. Fuck, that's a good show.
Dun, dun, dun,
it's
dun,
so good
dun,
when the previews
dun,
come
dun,
on,
dun,
I cover my
plus
eyes.
Plus, everybody you want to see naked gets naked.
And some people that you don't.
I love that show.
It's such a fucking great show, man.
Yeah.
Remember the first, like, minute?
Well, I just remember when they killed
the first episode.
I remember when they killed the dude. When they killed the dude.
Oh, when they killed Ned.
Yeah, I was like, what the? You can't kill the star of the show.
Yeah. I was so mad.
I was so angry.
I've never had emotion like that over a character on a TV show.
I was so angry. I wanted Joffrey's head.
Oh, yeah,
I wanted that motherfucker dead that day.
The next time I got so angry, the Red Wedding. The wedding.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the Red Wedding.
Oh, yeah. It's a traumatic experience.
Yeah. I screamed a wretched scream. I paused and I was like, why would they do this?
I was like, God damn it. What the fuck?
And then when they cut the girl down, I was like,
so pissed.
Son of a bitch.
Fuck this
why?
Show.
Why?
I'm never watching it again.
I was so mad. I was
furious.
Furious.
And then there's one other time that I got so angry like that. And that's when that guy's fighting the giant.
I was going to say that. I was so mad at that motherfucker because I was like, you don't brag until the motherfucker's dead.
Yeah. Oh, and I knew it was
coming. Who taught you how to fight?
Yeah.
Who taught you how to fight?
Oh, who was the who's the chick that got abused? That just got that went to that. It was like in that tomb thing, and she was in there, and they kept this chick kept beating her with a staff.
Oh
like,
yeah,
whooping her ass with
that
the staff.
That was Cersei. After she was like shamed.
Oh
no, the young girl. With the sword. She woke up and it was this guy, like he made her blind.
Oh, you talking about Arya?
Yeah.
Some of Arya. You remember Arya went through a stage where she was getting tested.
She kept getting her ass kicked with that staff.
Yeah.
I was like,
by the man who wasn't there.
Yeah, but the theory is so funny because
that
the theory
is crazy.
To,
that storyline
you know,
is like, what the fuck?
The theory to that is that she was fighting herself, but it came out later that she wasn't, but my theory was that she was fighting herself.
It was the man with no face or whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
the man with no face, and he kept saying that bitch.
That's what
I was so mad
that's
at
what
that
talking
bitch.
About.
I was like, oh my God, this bitch is awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck, that's a great show,
that's
man.
That's a great show, man.
Hodor.
When he died.
Oh, is that heartbreaking?
Hodor died.
You find out that where his name comes from and what was really happening.
That was so sad.
Game of Thrones. I can't believe it's coming back.
That's awesome.
It's so good. And they love me. He was like, we want you to come and do a part. And I was like, I would never.
On Game of Thrones?
I would never do that show because I wouldn't spoil the integrity of it. I said, but if I did do it, I would want to be fully covered with a baby in my hand and just walk through. Just walk through with me.
That's fucking hilarious. You should do a part. You're like, if you cover my face, you give me a baby.
They
was
like,
no lines.
They were like, what? I was like, you know, a villager just come through and shuffle with the baby in my hand.
Holy
they was like,
shit.
What?
I'd be like, I will play any part you want. Yeah. I don't care what sort of.
You were already in Rome. You know,
were you in Rome?
No, this dude looked like him. The Titus Bullard dude looks just like Bailey.
I told that story on here, didn't I?
Oh my God!
About Pesci.
Oh, you may as well. You may as well. I don't remember.
Did I tell it on the show already?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Fuck.
Maybe early on or way earlier.
I might have.
Go ahead.
It's a funny story. I played at this celeb golf tournament, and the guy who played Titus Pullo, this character on Rome. Who's a big guy with brown hair and had real short cropped hair. That's about all we have in common, really. We both have eyes
alike,
and a nose and a mouth.
We look a little alike.
We look a little bit alike, I guess. But everybody, Cash Cab was big. Rome was big at the same time. People would say, you look like that guy who plays Titus Pullo on Rome all the time. That guy's name is Ray Stevenson. He's an actor. He's been in a whole bunch of stuff since then. Rome was kind of his break. Playing this golf tournament, this is a long story made short, and we're standing in the clubhouse afterwards, and I'm talking to Joe Mantegna, who's a big fan, and kind of has blown my mind. And he says, I want to introduce you to Joe. Joe wants to meet you too. And I'm like, you are Joe. What are you talking about? Joe he's talking about is Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci comes over. We start walking towards him. The guy who runs the tournament, this guy Steve DeMarco, comes running over to be there for the introduction or whatever. And I get introduced to Joe Pesci, And he goes, yeah, I love the show with the cab. You do a great job, whatever. It's a terrible Joe Pesci. But so then we're standing there talking for a minute, and then Ray Stevenson turns out is there. Titus Pulo, he comes over, and he comes up, and we get introduced. And I saw, oh, hey, people tell me I look like you. Joe Pesci, like, pushes my arm away, leans in and looks at me. Looking up at me and staring at me. And he turns around and he looks at Ray Stevenson for like a 10 seconds, 15 seconds. He turns back and he looks at me again. And he goes, who the fuck told you that? And I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing.
Did he laugh?
I had to walk away. I literally had to leave. He made me laugh so hard that I couldn't stop laughing. It's just so crazy that it was him. You know,
who the fuck told you that?
Who the fuck
they
told
lied.
You
that? Oh, that's funny. That's great. That's fucking great.
I laughed for a half an hour.
Oh, I would have been like that. That is what made me love you, Joe Pesci.
Totally. And it was just that it was him. I couldn't stop. Yeah. Every time I looked at him, he'd be smiling at me, and I just start laughing again. I'm like, I gotta stay away from him because I can't fucking stop.
Oh
laughing.
My god, that's so funny. Who the fuck told
who
you?
Who the fuck? He told you know. He made a big thing of it. He played it out. It took like 2 minutes. It was awesome. One of my favorite moments ever for me.
That's awesome.
Another one is having you on the show today. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations, Leslie was just nominated for an Emmy today.
I know. Isn't that insane?
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
It seems like it's real.
It's for real.
I'm going to get a call, and they're going to be like, oh, we didn't mean Emmy. We meant Nimmy. It's like a Eminem type Emmy.
It's a local thing.
It's a local thing. Local.
That's fucking awesome. I hope you win.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
No offense to the other
If
ladies.
I do, I'm literally driving in front of your house, and it's
going to
be a big-ass gold
holding
chain.
The baby. Holding the baby.
Holding the baby.
Holding the baby.
Holding the baby.
Oh, that's awesome. Fuck. I feel like we could do this all night, but we should stop.
Oh, my God.
Thank you again, Leslie. And thank you guys for listening to Tall But True. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. We're going to have more great stories and more great guests coming up. Check me out on TheRealBenBailey.com. I'm Real Ben Bailey on social media. Cash Cab is coming back this fall. DC Benny and I are doing Tall But True live on August 9th at Fat Black Pussycat.
Nice.
You should come do the live show sometime if you want.
Yeah,
tell a story.
Let me know.
It'd be cool. All right, that's it. Thank you so much, everybody.
Yeah.